Glad you could join us today. My name is Daniel Cavanaugh, and I'm here with my dad, Charles. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We're in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. And Dad, we're going to kind of pick up here where we left off before the Christmas holiday. I know last fall when we began Crosstalk, we launched into, in a manner of speaking, what we've lost in regards to the next generation and them catching hold of the gospel. The things that we've lost, things that we've failed to pass on, the things that we're have not been faithful to proclaim and preach and teach to the next generation. But now we kind of want to, as we move into this new year, to kind of shift our focus from the negative to the positive. I mean, it's always important to see that negative, but I think it's important now to focus on the positive. What is it that we should be doing? And so we want to be able to spend the next few episodes just taking a look at where we should be going in regards to the passing on of the legacy, or passing on those truths, those foundational truths to the next generation. What is it that we should be doing? We have been doing something, so now, what is it that we should be doing? What should we be applying in our everyday life? And so instead of just focusing on that negative, I think we kind of want to turn and look at the positive, and kind of you want to just lead us in that direction.
Well, you know, one of the things that has motivated us is we have, and I say us, I mean our family and Vision for Living Ministries, has been this whole concept of the next generation. And particularly Psalm 78 sort of spoke to us, and it gave us sort of a platform, a sense of motivation. And the writer there said,
it's the biblical impetus for what we're
exactly,
doing.
Yeah. Exactly. And the writer there says in the key phrase there that the generation to come might know them,
right,
might know these things we're talking about. We use as one of our phrases that the generation to come might know Christ. And that he basically is the sum of all these things.
Right.
He is the expression of all these things. And so, well, the psalmist, when he said that, he had some things in mind. And they really come out in the text there. And I just thought we might look at some of those things and talk about what it is that's going to lead to setting the next generation's hope in God, and to passing on a vision to them and leaving a legacy for the generations to come.
So we've looked at Psalm 78, but in particular, where we see some positive things coming out, maybe some things that we can apply to our lives, can be found in Psalm 78:8. Maybe read that passage and key in on something we want to focus on today.
Well, first 6 and then 8, if you don't mind. First, that the generation to come might know them, even the children who should be born, who should rise and declare them to their children,
right,
that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And then verse 8, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. What the psalmist seems to be burdened for here is what I would call a heartfelt passion for the truth.
Hmm.
You know, I remember, I grew up in church, and you guys grew up in church. I was a pastor, and you were a PK,
right.
And you know, one of the things you, as a pastor, spiritual leader, when you look across the congregation, you're leading in worship, or you're preaching the word, and you see often, I would say always, but often you see a lack of passion.
Yeah.
You see people going through the motions.
Passionless people.
Yeah, yeah. You see people who just aren't stirred by the things of God. And one of the things I pray regularly is that God would stir our hearts for the things of God. You know, keep us stirred, not complacent. And so, you know, if John Doe and Mrs. John Doe, if Joe Christian and
right,
Jane Christian are going to affect the next generation, then there must be some passion. Or else, or then we ask the question, and I mentioned this to you as we were preparing for this, is this stuff just for pastors and church
right,
leaders? Is it just for evangelists? Is it just for conference speakers
right,
and professors? Is this just for those kind of guys? Or is this for Mr. and Miss Christian in the trenches, you know, who go to
right,
work every day?
Well, and I think this whole idea of passion is the fuel, and your passion is fueled by the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't dwell in the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We touch on the truth, but I don't think we dwell in the truth. It's not something that is the very fabric of our lives. The Word of God, the centrality of the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, I got in discussion, and don't want to go too long on this because it's a sidetrack, but I got in a discussion a long time ago with some people about the idea of that, can anyone be saved without reading the Bible?
Hmm.
And just all that to say is, is that we so often do not put enough emphasis upon the written word of God,
the truth. Yeah.
And that's what fuels our passion. I know we have a conference we do called Passion for Christ, but what is the very thing that we center on? It's the preaching and teaching of God's word. That's where the passion is going
to
be fueled.
We try to fill our ears and our minds and our hearts with the word of God.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Passion, now the question comes, what if I don't have this passion? Mm-hmm. First, I would say, do you know Christ?
Right.
But second...
Let's get basic here.
You get to the basics. Do you know Christ? Are you following Christ? But I asked a friend of mine one time about motivation. How can you increase your sense of motivation? And basically, I was asking about passion.
Right.
You know, and he said discipline fuels passion or motivation. Hmm. I thought about that. We talked about that. And that could become a legalistic thing where you just say, well, if I do this and I do that, then I'll be passionate.
If I don't do my little 5 minutes in the morning or 10 minutes in the morning.
But having said that, if I discipline myself, if I say to myself, this, the Word of God is going to have a place in my life and I'm going to be there in the Word. If I miss it, okay, God help me, I'm going to get back to it.
Right.
You know, because it's that discipline of the Word, that's seeking
in
the Word.
And you know when you miss it too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that narrows the stream. It's kind of like, you know, if you look at a river, it doesn't seem to be moving all that fast. But if it moves into a narrow part, you can see rapids and a real strong current come out of that. And that's what happens when we discipline ourselves in certain ways. It pushes the walls of that river of passion tighter and makes it flow
a lot more energy.
Forcefully within it. That's exactly right.
So if we were putting kind of a title on this, not that we would call it, I'd really be having a faithful spirit.
Exactly. And he talks about that here. He speaks of it in the negative because he says that they might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, but what was the mark of that stubbornness and rebellion? It was that they did not set their heart aright and their spirit was not steadfast with God. Hmm. So we have to, you know, examine our hearts.
Right.
Why does Paul say, examine yourselves, will you be in the faith? Examine yourselves about this. I beat my body daily, he says, and bring it into submission. You know, we're in a battle here.
I would say the reason being is because the matters of the heart are important. Proverbs talks about this, and this scripture gets misused, I think, a lot. It's a proof text for a lot of different things. But Proverbs talks about that we're to guard our heart with all diligence.
Yeah, Proverbs 4.
And rightfully so, I can understand why people use it for so many different things.
Right.
But honestly, if your heart's not guarded with the truth, what's in the scriptures, that even, quote, we things we would call good could come in and damage. You know what I'm saying? Maybe untruth. That sounds true.
Right.
You know? And I think that's why it's so important to be faithful and to have a faithful spirit to the Word of God, is because our heart can be deceived.
Right.
Very easily.
And distracted.
If we're not listening to the Spirit of God and what He is saying through His Word, you know.
Well, and then that brings in the whole ministry of the local church again, because mm-hmm. what does that do? If the man of God is being faithful to the Word, as we heard this morning from our faithful pastor, our hearts are challenged with the superiority of Christ. You know, our hearts are challenged with the centrality of the Word. Our hearts are challenged with being passionate and being faithful in our spirit. So we need that and the accountability of our brothers and sisters who are encouraging us in a one-on-one way.
Which I think leads us into the next thing that we kind of want to focus on. So not are we faithful in spirit, which would include discipline and guarding and receiving that which is good, but the actual aspect of hearing, give ear, listen to the truth.
Yeah, that's what he first starts out with. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. And he is talking about the physical ear because he wants you to listen with the physical ear.
We have to listen with our physical ear.
But it's more than that. When he says incline your ear in the King James, or he means to pay attention to, you pay attention with more than your ear.
Right.
You know, and I know that we can be talking and not hear what the other one says. I mean, we hear noise, we hear words, but we're not getting it.
It's not sinking in.
Yeah, and so what do we say to somebody? Are you listening to me?
Right.
And in the same way, God is saying, and the psalmist is saying, Asaph, the psalmist here is saying, pay attention. Turn your heart in this direction. You know, Jesus said something similar to that when he said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. He said that to all seven of the churches in Revelation, gives these very direct pointed messages about some things that are right with the church, but some things that were wrong with the church. He says, those who have an ear, let them hear. Let them pay attention. Let them take it in. That's right. The heart that's receiving what's said.
And kind of going back to what you were talking about, that we need to see this within the context of the local church. I think there's the importance of the preached word of God. Mm-hmm. If you're not under faithful teaching, you're going to reflect that in your own life. In fact, I've seen that in so many families when they fail to be under the faithful teaching of God's word. It will affect you. It will. I've heard people say, no, I can get it elsewhere. No, you need to hear that on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. You do not need to be receiving bad food.
And it needs to be attached to the body of Christ.
Bad food will make you sick.
Yeah, that's right. Right. And, you need to be careful where you're getting your food. That's right. But it's that constant input that creates. And then I think it's altogether right to ask God for a passion.
Right.
Increase my passion. As I said, one of the things I pray regularly for me and for my family is that our hearts will be stirred, our affections will be stirred for these things. Mm-hmm. So, don't take it for granted. If we leave it to ourselves, we'll wind up not doing anything, we'll just slough off.
Right. Well, I think within the context of the Israelites, which is in mm-hmm. Psalm 78
right.
in the Old Testament, they placed a heavy emphasis on the declared word, mm-hmm. Especially prophetic word, mm-hmm. the word coming to them, the truth of God's word, which is how they received God's word. Primarily. I mean, things were written down, but primarily they were spoken to by prophets. Now we have the complete, as Timothy says, a more sure word of prophecy,
right.
That is written for us. So I think the same thing that was applying there is applying here, and now we have it. I mean, we have no excuse. We have the printed word more than ever. The access to God's word is more than it's ever been. I mean, you think about it, you can go online for free and set up on YouVersion.com.
Yeah.
And get the word right there, and any version that you want.
Which reminds me of what Paul said in Romans 10. It says, how should they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how should they hear without a preacher? And how should they preach unless they be sent? And then he says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That might primarily be talking about saving faith, but that saving faith is the same faith that brings sanctification as well. It's sanctifying faith. Right. Because as we hear the word articulated and it preached to us, proclaimed to us, pointedly to us, that our hearts are changed, our minds are changed, and our lives are challenged. I know this morning my heart is challenged to look to this week with a challenge of my life being changed for the purpose
of
Christ.
I was at T4G Together for the Gospel a couple years ago, almost 2 years ago now, and Dr. Moeller preached. Albert Moeller, president of Southern Seminary, preached a message on the power of the articulated gospel.
Right.
And I think that's important. The spoken, what has been spoken, there's mm-hmm. power in the word of God there. And it does fuel, for the believer, the passion. For the non-believer, it is balm in the sense of, you can bring salvation.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we know Christ, and so we grow in our relationship with him and through that word, and it's so vital. And you mentioned the verse, he who has ear, let him hear. That's mentioned 2 times in Matthew and 2 times in Mark. It's pretty important in the Gospels.
Right.
Listen.
Yeah.
Hear that word preached. Well, you're reading or hearing it preached.
Well, he's bringing in the question, do you have an ear to hear? And if you do, hear it. Receive it. Yeah.
Right. No, it's true. And I think... we don't want our heart to remain satisfied with where we're at.
Right.
Passion begets more passion.
Exactly.
It fuels more. And here's not only the thing, not only you grow in that, but those around you start to feel it, to know it.
To communicate.
They see something different in you, and they're like, man, you're so passionate.
It catches.
And they start getting excited. And you start building almost this momentum, this euphoria, if you will, godly.
And you don't have to be a type A personality to have passion.
No.
I mean, there are not too many people more laid back than me.
Right.
I'm a laid back kind of a guy. But you can have a passion for Christ and his truth.
Mm-hmm. And I think in many churches or ministries, it's all about, and you mentioned this, and I'm just going to break this out, it's all about the next big thing.
Right.
The next event. In churches, in ministries, it's all about, well, we got this next big conference, and this is never like it's been before.
Right.
And how many times have I heard, we've got something we've never had before.
Right.
Yeah, I love what Solomon says, there's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You think you got it? No, you don't.
Yeah, yeah.
When it comes to truth.
And Peter just says, well, I'm going to stir your pure minds up by way of remembrance.
Right.
Need is reminders.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, in reality, the next big thing is life.
That's right.
The next big thing is getting out of bed.
That's when the alarm goes off.
In the morning. and looking there and going, okay, I'm going to live today for the glory of God. I'm going to get in the Word this morning. I'm going to receive that Word, and I'm going to live my life. I'm going to be fueled by the Word of God.
Yes.
I'm going to be passionate. I'm going to, even the preached Word that I heard at the beginning of the week, and then I'm going to continue on.
And I'm going to try to walk with the awareness of God's presence.
Yeah, I think that's important. That's good stuff. We could talk longer, but time is coming to a close here. So thank you for joining us today. We look forward to being with you next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision for Living Ministries. This is a free resource, but if you would like to support us, you can do so by visiting visionforliving.org/support. For more information on Vision for Living Ministries, visit our website where you will find other resources, including our blog. You can also find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/V4L. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@visionforliving.org or send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week on Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond.